exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Cuando tú verás. Listen to me. Here's the thing. Today's theme is, what is the truth? Everyone's searching for the truth. We all know politicians are liars. We know the government is full of crap. We know that everyone lies about everything in business. Wherever you turn, there's lies. So what is the truth? People say, what is the truth? Some say there is no truth. Just do what you want. Another question is, does God exist? That's for you to answer, not for me to ask. Now, I first faced these existential questions when I was 18. And I was reading existential philosophy, notably by Sartre, a long-forgotten French alcoholic philosopher. But today, I ask myself the same questions. Is there truth? Where is it to be found? Now, for me, the truth is in reality. I want you to go to michaelsavage.com if you're near an iPhone, and I want you to link to the pictures of socialism at work in Venezuela. I want you to see what's going on while the liar in Venezuela, the president Nicolas Maduro, very much like Obama, claims Venezuela has the best health care in the world after Cuba. There's no electricity, no antibiotics, no beds, no soap. 7 babies die a day in the hospitals. Bleeding patients are seen lying strewn on the floor, and doctors are operating without tools. That's socialism at work. That's where America will be in not a long time from now, unless there is a sea change in the political process in the United States of America. Obama is leading us to this disaster as sure as I am sitting here. I have covered this over and over again. What is truth? What is reality? Is Bernie Sanders telling you the truth? Bernie knows what socialism brings. But Bernie won't tell you about hospitals without medicine or about doctors without scalpels or anesthetic. Instead, Bernie sells you a bill of goods the way Bernie Madoff sold his investors on a Ponzi scheme. Bernie Sanders is basically a Ponzi scheme artist. Hillary Clinton, Ponzi scheme artist. We know the Clinton Foundation is a slush fund. We know that she's got lots of bad baggage. We also know she will not be indicted because she owns the system. So that leaves us with Donald Trump. Now, many of us are not sure about Donald Trump, but we're betting on him. We're gambling that he can change things, and we hope he does. But it's not to be about Donald Trump. It's about to be these topics of the day. So I'll begin with some of the stories that show us what the truth is. For example, Obama, the communist liar, is spending millions of dollars to find summer jobs, not for poor black kids, not for poor white kids, not for poor Hispanic kids who are citizens. Your president, your socialist liar, is spending millions of dollars to find summer jobs for refugees. He wants to make sure that Utica, New York's young refugees are not without a job. So Mr. Obama, the socialist liar, is spending millions and millions of dollars to make sure it doesn't happen. President Obama set up his new summer opportunity project. Access to a job in the summer and beyond can make all the difference to a young person, especially those who don't have access to many resources and opportunities. Well, that's true. Why don't you talk about the poor white kids that don't have a summer job, or the poor black kids whose families were born here hundreds of years ago, about those who don't have a job? But no, Obama wants to make sure, as a community organizer, that the future is seeded with future socialist voters, and so he will spend millions and millions of dollars launching dozens of initiatives across the land to make sure that not citizens, but refugees get jobs. Here's another story. 2 drown after being swept out by a current off a beach in Miami. So I looked into that, and there were 2 rabbis. But they were not liberal rabbis for whom the bell doesn't toll. They were actual real Jews. They were Orthodox Jews who practiced God's commandments all day long, 6 times a day praying, 3 times a day praying, following every little commandment. And they went out into the water, probably wading. These are not swimming types, 67 and 66, from Williamsburg, New York. They're not the type that are ocean swimmers. These are guys who roll up their trousers above their knees and splash themselves with a little water under their arms. So a current comes in, grabs them by the feet, pulls them into the water, and they're dead. So the question to me is, where is God? Why did he take their lives? Why did he take their lives? Anyone have an answer to this question? There's no answer to the question. So does God exist? You tell me if God exists, because I'm not so sure. And the question is not whether I believe if God exists, or if you believe God exists. The issue is, why does he let the good die and the evil thrive? That's all. It's a simple question that goes back to the beginning of time. If you study Mount Vesuvio, and you see the remains of Pompeii, for example, Pompeii, where the mountain explodes, and you see the remains of Pompeii, you see people frozen in time as they're hit by the molten ash. Were they all evil? Is that why God killed them? Because he wanted to kill them because they were all evil? Everyone in that whole city below that volcano deserved to die. Or that Christian school bus that goes off a cliff and 33 children are killed as it falls into a ravine. Why did that happen? Because he's a just God? Or because it's just chance and it just was an accident? I'll let you decide. It's not for me to answer. It's for me to ask and for you to answer. So that brings us back to the question of what is the truth and why am I asking the question? Because we have politicians, all of whom are lying to us from the top to the bottom. We have people in the media who never tell you a word of truth. They do it only for ratings, just as the politicians do it only for the money that they gain to stay in office. They could care less where the truth is. They tell you point blank they're lying to your face. And so we're left with our own lives to lead. Now, how do we lead them? Well, each of us has his own way to get through life. Now, for me, it came down to this a number of decades ago, which was survival. I decided that reality was truth itself. Truth and reality were the same, and to me, reality became survival. I didn't want to listen to anyone telling me. I stopped reading books on how to live. I stopped reading philosophers on what to think. I stopped listening to double talkers in the religious world who thought they know the answers when they didn't. I had to decide for myself what the truth was. And for me, the truth was survival, survival, survival. I found out that if I followed the rules of society, I would be crushed and thrown into the garbage can. That I, by following the rules, was thrown on the side of the road because of my race. Because I was not the chosen race or the chosen sexuality. I was a straight, heterosexual, white male, and I was the enemy of our society. And guess what? I played by the rules, and they threw me on the roadside. So I decided, you know what? I'll do what I have to do to survive. And now we come down to America today. Tell me what your reality is. Tell me what you decided truth is. Tell me what you think the truth is in this political jungle in which we are living. Where is the truth for you? Well, there are other stories I'm going to talk about today, and I picked them up. We touched on summer jobs for illegal aliens. African Americans need not apply. Obama apparently is catering to illegals more so than African Americans. I don't know why that doesn't excite the liars in the African American civil rights community. The answer is because they're not in the civil rights community. They're in the civil rights business. It is a business like all other businesses. But because it is a holier-than-thou business, people are afraid to say a word about it. And so there are some other stories that caught my attention today that may or may not be related to my opening show today on the Savage Nation. For example, psychedelics are being used by doctors to help people with depression. Read today that scientists are finding that psychedelic mushrooms may be good for more than a wild weekend. Magic mushrooms appear to have helped a small group of volunteers suffering from severe depression, according to a new study in Lancet Psychology. So I ask you this, because the streets of the Bay Area are strewn with the victims of psychedelics who walk the streets as though they are in an outpatient ward. Some people took these drugs in the 1960s or 70s, and they've never recovered. Whether they be mushrooms or LSD, they're still walking corpses. So I'm going to ask you now in the Savage Nation, not to go back to Richard Nixon's time, but tell me right now in the Savage Nation, for my millions of listeners who are hanging on my every word, was your mind blown by LSD or mushrooms? Do you have any psychedelic horror stories? Have you ever recovered? Is there something that you can tell the younger listeners to this show about psychedelics that may save a life from the road that you traveled because you were lied to by liars like Timothy Leary and the other peddlers of drugs who call themselves doctors of the mind? Now, this all connects up with what is reality. And the reason it connects up with what is reality is quite simple. It's because many people were searching for, quote, the truth. And so in the 60s, they thought that the truth could only be seen by following the psychedelic pathways, because after all, some Native American tribes used magic mushrooms or mescaline in these mushrooms, namely peyote, in order to see the truth. And then we heard about tribes in South America who inhaled ayahuasca in order to see beyond this reality into the, quote, world of truth. And where did that lead us? Well, it led us to today, where we have men who say they're women walking into bathrooms and getting away with it, even though they're deviants. Oh, yeah. Not all of them are sexually confused. Not all of them identify as women. A good portion of them are simply perverts, using Obama's edict to get away with perversion. Oh, yeah. So what is reality? Is Obama really a legitimate leader of the United States of America? I'll let you decide what the reality is on that one. Is socialism really better for the masses of humanity? Before you open your pie hole and tell me what you heard at Harvard University, take a look at the pictures of the blood-strewn patients on the floors of the hospitals where socialism is actually practiced, boys and girls from Harvard. This is the Savage Nation. That's just the opening. If you like what you hear, the phone number is 855-407-282. I'll be back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Strings that way, huh? How do great performers tap into that thing to find those places to go with their mouth, with their hands, and get there and take us somewhere else? Well, what is God? Does God exist? What is the truth? Again, these are existential questions which I faced when I was 18. I'm facing them again because America is in total and absolute turmoil right now. People don't know which way to turn. They've lost their faith in God. They certainly lost their faith in the liars in the media. They know that they're all salesmen of one kind or another. They have no faith in any of the empty skirts or any of the suits. No faith in Congress. We don't know who to despise more, the media or Congress, but we despise them all. So we turn to other places for our truth. I remember when I was 18 years old and I had gone to Europe, the big trip to Europe. Whatever the reason was, I just took the big trip on the MV Waterman, spent some time over there. And then I came back to New York. I didn't know what I was going to do with my life, to be honest. I wasn't one of these kids who was, let's say, career-oriented. A lot of kids around me in Queens at the time came from families that drove them into careers very young, and they knew what they were going to do. They were going to be a doctor, a lawyer, or this or that. If they couldn't be a doctor or a lawyer, they became a chiropractor. If they couldn't become a chiropractor, they became a podiatrist. If they couldn't become a podiatrist, they became, whatever, go down the line, an accountant or this or that. I'm not knocking any professions, but they were driven in careers, and many of them went right into careers early on in life. I was not that type. I was always a dreamer. My head was always somewhere else. I always was reading philosophy, was interested in ideas, and of course, as a dreamer, I was sort of, in my own way, on the sidelines of life because I didn't know where I wanted to go. And I don't think that I'm different in that regard. I was different. I don't think I was very different then than many young people are today who are searching, so to speak, to so-called find themselves. I don't even know what find yourself means, but basically to find a way to make a living, in plain English. If you find a way to make a living, you'll find out who you are. It's really very clear. Find a way to make a buck, and you'll find out who you are pretty quick. If you can't make a dollar, you'll never know who you are. You're going to be drifting your whole life looking for yourself. So, yes, yourself is connected to making a dollar. So to make a long story short, I come back from Europe in this great search, the existential reality that I was living in, not knowing where reality was. So I remember I was driving on a roadside up in the Catskill Mountains at the end of the summer when I come back, and I accidentally ran over and killed a rabbit. My mind, of course, was somewhere else. I was foggy in my head. I was thinking, and I was drifting. So I remember killing a rabbit. I got out and looked at the dead squash thing on the side of the road. Not a big deal. I mean, people eat rabbits. But the point was, it was dead. So I looked at it, and I said, today, I never forget what I wrote. In fact, I could find the line in my journal somewhere, but I remember it very clearly. Today, I ran down and killed a rabbit. This is reality. It's in one of my journals, probably 1964, a little green book. I remember it. Today, I ran down and killed a rabbit. This is reality. And then, in order to augment my view of life and death representing reality, which is what most of the world knows, but we in America don't know, except those who live in the worst ghettos of the United States of America. They live in the reality of life and death every second of their lives. Even the kids who want to do something with lives, if they walk out and hit the wrong street and meet the wrong maniac, they die. Okay, like that rabbit, they're shot for no reason. And so I then went and took a weird job in, to this day I can remember it, Queens General Hospital. I don't know if it's even still there, probably is. It was way up on Parsons Boulevard in Queens. It was a red brick building with a huge smokestack that was emitting, you know, the waste of the hospital in those days. They burned it, and it went out into the air, which is the reason I left New York at the time. The air was so polluted. So the point was, I took a job as an orderly in the morgue. I'm not making this up. I know it sounds like, what? I just took a crazy job. Took a job in the morgue. Now, I'm not going to now launch into the murders at the Rue Morgue, because it's not about murders in the Rue Morgue. It was about what I saw in the morgue that helped solidify my view that reality is very much about survival. It's about life and death and nothing else. I'll be back to talk about these topics as related to how psychedelics ruined your life and does God exist right here on the Savage Nation. See how it all connects? The genius of Michael Savage. See how it all connects? Today I ran down and killed a rabbit. This is reality. Now I'm playing White Rabbit, and I'm wondering how much of this the people really get. Do they really want to hear this stuff? Now, it's going to be another Trump-free day. I can guarantee you that. Is there a crime? Do I get a demerit somewhere for not saying his name? Sometime in the next 3 hours, is there some kind of litmus test I must pass every day? I will not say the name. I just said I will not say the name today. We'll do other things on the program. And one of the things we're going to do is talk about what I'm talking about, because I'm interested in the topic. Where is the truth? We look to politicians for the truth. You're going to be vastly disappointed, my friend. So many people have turned to God, and many people have turned away from God in our lifetime. I think more people have turned away from God than have turned to God, in certainly in my lifetime. The churches have emptied it out, which is why the Catholic Church in particular is importing people from other countries to fill the pews. It's very bad business, like a movie theater with no one going to the theater anymore. So they need the customers for the movie. So they got to get them from another country, which is now you step in with the immigration job. So let's look at the Bible for 1 second. I'll take your calls. Because if you read Isaiah, my favorite talk show host of his time, Isaiah told us, I will give children to be their princes, and babes shall rule over them. And the people shall oppress one another, every man his fellow, and every man his neighbor. The child shall behave insolently against the aged, and the base against the honorable. Tell that to Target. For a man shall take hold of his brother of the house of his father. You get the picture of what was going on? And then he wrote, as for my people, a babe is their master and women rule over them. Oh, so there are certain truths that are found in the Bible that even if they're just literary truths, seem to apply today. But does it mean anything in terms of you praying to some invisible entity that no one has seen in thousands of years? I mean, something happened thousands of years ago. People saw God. It was something about a burning bush. He told Moses and the Ten Commandments and the this and the that and the boom, the boom. And people have been killing each other over what the vision was for thousands of years. You have people within the same religion crucifying each other over their vision of what God said. You have people in the so-called monotheistic religions, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, who think that they all worship the same God, and yet they don't seem to get along very well while worshiping this very same God. And they all ask the same question while they're butchering each other and robbing from each other. And the question is, where is he? If he exists, why does he let the little children suffer? And why does he let the evil get away with their evil? These are questions I can't answer. Nor do I even ask them anymore. I stopped asking them a long time ago. Because I don't look for justice in the world. I don't see it anywhere. I don't strive for it. All I do is seek justice in my own life. I seek justice through survival. I'm going to say that over and over again. And if you analyze me, you analyze my show going back 22 years, you will find that my message, my political message of borders, language, and culture is about the survival of a nation. That's what it came down to. It was not esoteric. It was not in God we trust. It was in borders, language, and culture we trust. And what happened was, along came the anti-Americans, and it was pronounced primarily under Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton. They were the ones who started the meltdown of our borders, language, and culture. Make no mistake about it. They pushed through NAFTA. They put in a woman into the INS, the INS. I remember her name to this day. She should be indicted for war crimes against this nation. I know her name. I won't even mention it. Her name should be cast into the hat of many people who've ruined this country. She was the one who first melted down our borders with Mexico. Then there was Janet Reno, who turned our motor vehicle bureaus into not DMVs, but departments of Mexican voters. They did it specifically to overtake the nation and rule the nation through chicanery, and to use illegal aliens from other countries who didn't even know what they were doing in robbing the Treasury blind, in order to use these illegal aliens to prevent those of us who know what they were doing from seeking justice. So where we are today is that there's a revolution going on in the political world. You have an unknown communist agitator named Bernie Sanders, one of the greatest fakers in the history of the world, promising things that he knows have failed and he can never deliver, attracting huge crowds of the drug-addicted youth and of the others, mainly government workers, socialists who want their pensions to continue, fools who don't think that an old man who talks like that is telling him the truth because he wears a rumpled suit. And then we have Hillary Clinton. Everyone sees right through her. Even Democrats who I speak to, which I do once in a while, say, whenever I say it, their lips turn. They say, ugh, not her. They hate her. She is the most despised politician in American history. People look right through her. She's in real trouble. Of course, she's losing in every state because people detest her and her husband. But the fact is they own the media and they own the delegates. So she will no doubt be the nominee versus Donald Trump. So we get to Donald Trump, who I backed from the get-go, from day one, on the assumption he was the only one who could stop Hillary Clinton. And I still believe that. But again, don't call me on this Trump-Clinton thing. I'm not going to talk about it. I want to stick to the more interesting questions for today's program, which are the ones I raised earlier today. And they're all related to the white rabbit. Where is the truth? So let's pull a rabbit out of the hat by taking some calls. Let's begin by going to Eugene, Oregon. K. Eugene in Oregon. Sid, line 3. Go ahead. What's on your mind, Sid?
Dr. Savage, I'm one of those people who threw away a beautiful, brilliant future by getting involved with LSD in 1970 or so.
Well, tell me what happened.
I was a valedictorian of my junior high school. I had near-perfect scores on my SATs. I was doing brilliantly in college, and then I fell in with a group that was taking LSD. I took it every weekend for a year, and at the end of that year, I could not tell whether my memory of the day before was a dream I had had or had actually occurred. And I walked away from college. I was supposed to be an ancient history professor or an art history professor, and never looked back, and I spent the rest of my life working menial jobs.
Well, it's a very sad story, Sid, and it's not easy for you to tell it, I'm sure. This is a product of the liars like Timothy Leary, who was one of the greatest devils in the history of America, because he pushed psychedelics like a drug dealer. And then you had the others around him who were psychedelic pushers. And now you have the psychedelic drug pushers back in business, and they're putting out so-called studies of 12 patients. 12 patients is not a study. It's a theory, and it's a bad theory. And the article says, scientists are finding that psychedelic mushrooms may be good for more than a wild weekend. Magic mushrooms appear to have helped a small group of volunteers suffering from severe depression, according to a new study in Lancet Psychology. 12 patients is not a study. But again, they're trying to push magic mushrooms, LSD, and even the new breed, the new strains of marijuana, into the mainstream, which they've done very well at doing. These are not cures for depression. They are the causes of depression, Sid. Would you agree with that?
Partially. I would say they do continue the depression, but I had issues when I was young that I didn't know how to deal with.
Well, who does? That's why we're called youth. We're called children and youth because we don't know how to deal with problems. All right, so you got sidetracked. You went into this world, and that was the end of your life. And I appreciate you listening to the program and having the guts to call the show with, basically, I would say, your psychedelic horror story. And I think we should talk about that, because if I can save one child listening to the show from taking that drug, if there's one 15-year-old or 14-year-old or 18-year-old who is being prodded by some friend or friends to use marijuana, say, oh, don't be stupid, that stuff is good for you, or to try magic mushrooms one weekend, listen very carefully to what you're going to hear on this show, because it is a show that could save a life, and I will never know who you are. Never. Mary on KSFO, welcome to the program.
Yeah, hey, I was looking for truth, so I started smoking pot in high school. I graduated to mushrooms and then LSD acid. It soured for me. I quit college. I went west. I actually ended up in Berkeley. I was following the Grateful Dead. I slept with all kinds of people. And I was at a concert one night, and I saw Jerry Garcia look at me, and he goes, I was high on LSD, and he said, all rise for the dead. And I imagined that the roof was blowing off the theater. And so I got blown away, and my friends that I were with, I couldn't even talk to them. I was so blown. So I told them I wouldn't go home with them, and I ended up taking a ride with three security guards, and they ended up raping me, and they were taking me across the bridge to Richmond, and I was picturing the bay, and I was like, God, I hope my parents don't find me at the end in the bottom of the bay. So as we were going to Richmond, I was like, I looked at the moon, and it was falling out of the sky, and I was like, Jesus, please save me. And we got to a stop sign, and I opened the back door of the car, and I just started running, and I was able to get away. So I survived it, and I lived to tell. So that's my
Where did that leave you? You were so Jerry Garcia is well known to be one of the greatest devils of our time, lauded and worshipped by the fools around the world who think that his music, which was great music, by the way, it was all heroin music, it was drug music. He was another Pied Piper who led so many people into this horrendous hell of drugs. And yet he's held up as a role model by the fools here in the Bay Area. But you have a different story to tell. Did you stop using psychedelics after that horrendous experience?
Yes, not right away, but I did.
So what were you? You were like a hippie girl, that kind? I mean, you patchouli oil, the whole deal?
Yep, hitchhiking, you know, trying to live off the land, so to speak, meeting people.
Did you do the commune experience at any time?
Yeah, I was in it wasn't a fraternity house, but it was communal in Berkeley.
Yeah, that must have been very nice, sharing a bathroom with those people.
Yeah.
Because they thought the dirt was godly. They thought filth was godly in those days.
We were barefooted and, you know, picking up germs, I'm sure.
God. Okay, so let's speed the clock forward. It's now 2016. You're listening to a radio show. You're calling in. What are you doing today?
I'm working. I'm professional. I go to church. I, you know, try to eat right.
Whoa. Let's go back to I go to church. The day you prayed for Jesus to save you, are you saying that you think God or Jesus stepped in and saved you?
Oh, absolutely. I know it's true. There was no way. He took his hand off my neck when I said that.
Who had his hand on your neck? One of the security guards?
Yeah, there were two in the back, and one was driving, and they were taking turns raping me.
Ugh.
So I was going to get strangled. I knew it. So I had to call out to Jesus.
And because you said what? Jesus saved me, or what did you say in that van?
Jesus saved me.
Why would that take an animal? Why would the animal remove his hand from your neck because you said Jesus? Did the animal believe in God?
Pardon?
Did the animal who was choking you believe in God?
No, he couldn't do anything. He had to remove his hand. It was the power of God.
You actually believe that to this day?
I do believe.
Well, I'm not going to argue with what you see as reality. How did I begin this show? I began the show by asking, what is the truth? Does God exist? What is reality? I, Michael Savage, said that I found out along the way that reality is survival. You're basically confirming it in another way, aren't you?
I am.
So for you, your survival was reaching out to God through Jesus.
Absolutely.
Amazing. Well, I tell you, I don't know who you are, but that's a very brave call, and it's, I think, very unique to talk radio, especially in these days of the most boring shows in the history of the world. If we keep talking about politics, there's going to be nothing left, because one day the election will be held and it'll be over. And then what are we going to talk about? Well, today I'm talking about what I did talk about before we got into this hyper-political state, and what I'm going to be talking about with God's will after we get through with this hyper-political state, which is the reality of the world that we live in, and what's really interesting about it, which is, does God exist? What is the truth? Etc. So I want to thank you. I'm going to send you a copy of Teddy and Me, which is a book I think you're going to love. I'll be back in a minute on The Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth and financial future. Call 1-800-289-2646.
Lauded and worshipped by the morons that run Marin County, California.
I don't go clean in the main vein.
You build a statue to him next, and you name a bridge to him. You name the tunnel for a guy who hung himself in a bathroom. You name a tunnel that everyone has to look at for a guy who hung himself with a strap. Two rooms away from his wife. Hung himself in a garage. You name a tunnel from. So every time a kid drives through with the mother. Who was that? Oh, he was a famous comedian who hung himself with a strap on a little stool that he kicked out. Name a bridge now for Jerry Garcia. Really complete the act here in the Bay Area. Don't name it for a war hero. Don't name it for a young man who gave his life for the country. Name it for these entertainers. It's like a local high school here years ago. I forget the name of the high school. Redwood High School. Millions of dollars were raised not to build a technology laboratory, but to build a theater. To build a theater in this age, a theater for the children to study to be thespians. You hear this? To get on the leotards and do a Shakespeare or a Shakespeare in the Dark, to grope each other. They build a theater here. They spend the millions of dollars that they raised from the foolish parents not for a technology center, not for a science center, but for a theater. So all the young children of Marin County can become thespians and then go out and not have a job and stay at home with mommy as she does her Pilates with her instructor in a hidden location. While daddy is away working on making a living. It's the Savage Nation. Be here.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
They can name the bridges for the drug peddlers, those who hang themselves in toilets. That's all. Great role models. And now, ladies and gentlemen, one of the greatest saviors of humanity, Eric Clapton. Give him the key to the city. That's what he deserves. So here we are. What is the truth? Does God exist? Talking about it for an hour. Great show. Led to psychedelic horror stories. And now I see an article that a cardinal, a top cardinal, he happens to be African, not African-American, African-African. It's a different kind of culture. And Cardinal Robert Sarah, a native of the West African nation of Guinea, gives a speech and says God is being eroded and eclipsed, liquidated in the United States. He warns against a demonic threat to American society and encourages prayer. So, okay, no one can argue with that. Sounds cool. Then you read it a little carefully. God is being eroded, eclipsed, liquidated. What does he mean by that? Well, he points out exactly what he means. Cardinal Sarah points out specific events, quote, in the name of tolerance that have contributed to this erosion, including, quote, and I'm quoting him now, take it up with him, the legalization of same-sex marriage, the obligation to accept contraception within healthcare programs, and even bathroom bills that allow men to use the women's restrooms and locker rooms, unquote. Cardinal says, should not a biological man use the men's restroom, he said, in his prepared remarks. How simpler can that concept be, he asks. The African cardinal goes on. He warned that subversions of the church's teaching, including a, quote, demonic gender ideology, could lead to the family unit becoming a place where human beings can be humanly and spiritually wounded. So, my friends, it takes an African cardinal to stand up to what is going on in America. How come he doesn't give this speech to Barack Obama, who passed the bathroom bill? How come he doesn't give it to Barack Obama, who pushed same-sex marriage down our throats? How come he doesn't give it to Barack Obama, who forced religious people to accept contraception? You see what I'm saying here? He's giving us a message that we all know is true, but he's not giving it to the right people or to the right persons. So we get back to the show and the questions of the day. And there's a related show topic that I'm going to introduce right now. Yesterday I had a very good show on immigrants and epidemics. And I talked about 26% of all foreign-born cases of TB in Minnesota were from foreigners from Somalia. And we talked about measles in Memphis. We talked about the diseases that immigrants are bringing into America, diseases that were once primarily eradicated that have now been brought back by individuals from the third world, bringing their low health levels to the United States of America. Now that ties into something I'd like to introduce now. The dark side of trendy food trucks. Say, wow, how can he do a thing like that? How does he make this jump from God to trendy food trucks? Well, it's because I'm Michael Savage. I can do it. God gave me a kaleidoscopic mind and the ability to make these connections where people didn't even see them before. It's called seeing reality where it exists, as opposed to reading about reality in the newspapers. So trendy food trucks, primarily owned and operated by immigrants, which is why they're so popular. Near where I live on the weekend, there's 50 of them. Peruvian cuisine, Chilean cuisine. I wouldn't buy a peanut from a food truck. My whole life I knew that they were roach coaches. All of a sudden they became trendy. I have no idea why. Moreover, I don't understand how the guys who own these shopping centers are allowed to do it, because they're shafting the restaurant owners who are paying the rent on the stores. The brick and mortar stores are paying rent through the nose to the greedy super, the greedy owners of these, shopping plazas. And meanwhile, they're selling out the parking lot to the, food trucks. All right, say, well, I'll give everyone a chance. Well, that's not the issue. It's the safety record. It came out in today's LA Times that 27% of food trucks earn lower than A grades over the last 2 years in LA. Compare that to less than 5% of bricks and mortars restaurants and about 18% of food carts, that are found to be lower than A grades. So what is that about? Well, trucks are dirty. They're not sanitary. Workers are working in little spaces. Leads to cross contamination. They're servers and they're preparers. So right there, there's health issues right there. Then there's issues of storage temperature. Then there's the issue of rodent infestation in these trucks. Why anybody would eat off a food truck is beyond me. I have no idea why they would do it. They think that they're being, I guess, cool, and it's anti-establishment, and the food tastes better. It's a product of the college kids thinking that they're not being like mom and dad. I don't know if the food is any cheaper, by the way. In fact, I think in some cases the food is more expensive. But it's a little tie-in, in some ways, to the earlier topic of immigrants and epidemics. So do you have any food truck horror stories to throw in with the psychedelic horror stories here on the Savage Nation? Let's have a round robin on the program today. We're talking about three or four topics. What is the truth? Does God exist? Psychedelic horror stories. And now, the truck horror stories, the food truck horror stories on the Savage Nation. Of course, you are not interested in the liar-in-chief spending $20-30 million a year on summer jobs for illegal aliens, not for African Americans who are poor and have no jobs. Not one person called on that, because you can't even talk about it. Whatever God decides to do in the White House, they shall support. Now let's go to the callers on the Savage Nation. On the radio, quick, fire away.
Yes, sir. I am a 40-year-old financial executive. I'm a managing director, and I've actually had quite a few psychedelic experiences. And I'd like to at least gently push back and say that they've been some of the most positive experiences in my life. I'm not sure how many...
Apparently, you have no imagination. You're a very unimaginative individual who needs to go somewhere with a drug to get some imagination happening in your brain. I have long found that psychedelics may be useful for people who have no imaginations. I call them the one-string banjos, but people like me who have Stradivariuses for a brain do not like psychedelics. We don't like our strings pulled by outside forces.
I guess I understand, but the one, and I don't want to disrespect it, but I guess I would say my experience has been with psychedelics that generally they tend to strip away the ego. And for folks, that can be either a very positive or a very uncomfortable experience. And when I first started using psychedelics, it was a very uncomfortable experience. I had, you know, I was a narcissist. I was, you know, sending off negative energy. I was kind of just a negative guy.
What are you now? What are you now? Now that your ego has been stripped away, what are you now? What's left?
Oh no, I've been married for 15 years. I have four children. As I mentioned, I have a very successful career.
Do you use psych? Do your children know that you use drugs?
No. First of all, it's a very rare incident now. It may be once a year, once every 18 months.
Wait, you just said that it's been beneficial for you, so why hide it from your children?
Well, they're, first of all, they're really young. It's not the kind of
thing. But why not introduce them to the truth? If it's so, it's been so beneficial for you, it's like learning that vitamin C helps you. You certainly would teach your children about the benefits of vitamin C or vitamin A. Why not teach them the benefits of psychedelic drugs?
I was much older when I first started experimenting, and I think that extra maturity helped me quite a bit. I didn't start using drugs at 14 or 15. I was much older.
You know, but I heard the same nonsense when psychedelics were being peddled, which is that it helps strip away the ego. Well, what does that actually mean? How does a man exist without an ego-driven personality? What's left? There's nothing there.
Well, it's just
the more you peel away at the onion, you find out there's nothing inside the onion. It's a hollow space. There is nothing inside the onion. You peel away one layer after the other until you get to the center of the onion and there's nothing there. So what you're doing now is tampering with your reality and your sanity at the same time. It's a very dangerous road to go down. So I don't know what kind of psychedelic to use, know what doses, but I would say by listening to you, you've been very lucky so far.
I mean, I appreciate that, sir. And I'm a conservative. I mean, I've never voted for a Democrat in my life. But certainly
I'm not saying that if you use drugs, you're liberal. If you don't use your... It has nothing to do with conservative or liberal. I'm not selling conservatism. I'm not selling Donald Trump. What I'm selling here is an attempt to get at reality. What is reality? What is truth? Where is God? So have you seen God on one of your trips?
Oh, certainly not. Well, I am religious, and I do go to church. It had nothing to do with a religious experience.
So what have you seen on these ego-smashing trips that we should know about?
Myself. And I know that's...
Okay, well, hold. Okay, your ego stripped away. What is yourself?
Well, I mean, when I was younger, it was definitely like I was sort of an angry young man. I mean, a blue-collar guy in a blue-collar neighborhood. I'm sure you've met the type before. I grew up in suburban New York. You know, I just had a lot of baggage. I was a street kid for the most part, and I just didn't know how to...
Wait a minute. So it's exactly what they were doing in the 60s, which was stripping away the masculinity of young men, mainly young white men, and turning them into mush. They were feminizing them with the peddling of the lie that, oh, if you strip away your ego, you'll see a gentler self. I don't understand that. What do you mean you were a lost soul because you're a blue-collar guy, a street guy? It sounds like you were a regular man. So what did they turn you into, a metrosexual?
No, far from it. I'd love to put my wife on the phone and have me describe as feminine. That would be really fun conversation.
Okay, so you really haven't stripped your ego away. You've just learned how to say you did.
Well, it temporarily strips away your ego. It comes back. I mean, once the effect of the drugs wear off, I mean, you're either use what you saw or you can...
All right, so what drug is it that you like to use recreationally to get to this place?
Very rarely. I mean, I have done psychedelic mushrooms on numerous occasions. I have done LSD on a handful of occasions, and I probably smoke marijuana once a month.
So you're not really a heavy user in that regard.
Well,
all right, but what you're trying to say is that you have tried, you've used them, you've experimented, and it hasn't destroyed your life. Okay, glad to hear it. You're one in a very large sample of lives who have not been ruined by hallucinogenics. Let's go to another caller, Brian on WFNC Radio in North Carolina. Let's see what Brian has to say. Brian, what's your topic?
You know, the psychedelics I found in my vast experience with them really did show me a lot of truth. But the problem is that the truth that revealed just usually ends up giving you more questions. And then the questions are bigger and bigger the more truth is revealed until you get to a point of confusion where you're really a lost person and you can't make any, you don't even belong in this realm of us anymore. And to be honest with you, I see it, came to eventually see it from a place of desperation that it was really,
You know, there's something, are you on a cell phone? It's very hard to hear you. This is a muted sound. Can you just use a landline or something?
Hi.
Yeah. Yeah, take it off speakerphone. What is it you're saying?
What I'm saying is that you do learn truth on psychedelics, but that the question...
Well, what do you mean you learn truth? What, you see visions and that's truth? You see a vulture? You see a vulture flying through your brain? That's truth?
Well, you have spiritual fulfillment. You can see things and feel things that you would thought you would have gotten from a God if you were talking to him.
So in other words, crawling around on the floor like an infant and seeing a vision gives you a sense of truth?
Well, no. That's part of what you may go through physically, but you actually have feelings and senses of fulfillment.
Sure, you have very strong feelings like a psychotic in a mental ward. They also have very strong feelings. See, this is all part and parcel of the mythology, and it's only a product of a society that is so protected that you can get away with turning yourself into an infant again and not wind up crushed by an enemy. This is the indulgence of America, is to be able to experiment with these things without any consequences. In the harsh world of the real world, this puts you at great risk of being, let us say, terminated on planet Earth, in the very real world, no matter what visions you may be having, you would be terminated in the very real world called the Third World. Back in a minute on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Bell-bottom pants, patchouli oil, STDs. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. Okay, so what is reality? Now, you got liars on the left saying that we need to take in more immigrants, that we're a mean nation of white people. But the reality is something else. We have the most immigrants in the entire world. Tell that to the lying Pope. Tell that to the lying liar in the White House. One in five global migrants live in the United States of America. One in five global migrants live in the United States, the most in the world. Did you hear that one? And yet we're told, oh, we're too white, we're too mean. Now, what are they all flocking here for? Because we're so white and so mean? It's because we're a nation of morons. A nation of beaten up morons, sheeple. Sheeple beaten up by re-educators for the last 30 years into thinking that we have to give up our sovereignty, give up our nationality, give up our pride, give up our manhood so we can let the third world trample on us. How's that one for reality? I just gave it to you. Nearly one in five global migrants live in the U.S. If the country stinks so badly, then what are the Mexicans flocking here for? Because we're so evil? The gringo is so bad? What are they coming here for? What are they coming here for? Because we're so evil? Ask yourself that, all you drug addicts out there. 46.6 million people as of 2015 living in the United States were not even born here. One in five international migrants, that's 20%, live in the United States. The U.S. immigrant population is nearly four times that of the world's next largest immigrant destination, Germany. And the U.S.-Mexico border, gringos, is also the world's largest migration corridor. Did you know that? 12 million Mexico-born immigrants, most of them illegal, live in the United States. 12 million Mexicans born in Mexico live here. So what do they hate about gringo land so much? What are they coming here for if it's such a racist land? Because you've been lied to. You've been beaten up. You've been lied to by the radical left, who need cheap labor, and they need voters to buy their lies. So I'm asking you, what is reality? Listen, I'm in the politics business, and I'm not doing politics today. I'm doing what is reality today, and where is God today? I'm asking about psychedelic horror stories, because many of you don't live in reality. You don't know reality. I do. The reason I am so successful, and the reason I have written one best-selling book after another, is not because I am a magician. It is because I know reality. I sell realpolitik. I sell you reality every day. My reality sells because, well, let's put it to you this way. The truth has a certain ring to it, as Ernest Hemingway taught me when I was 18 years old. I'll be back in a minute. I'm Michael Savage. In essence, I'm a drug. My voice is a drug to millions of people. That's the absolute reality. You don't know me. You don't know who I am. But there's something captivating, hypnotic, something about my show and my voice that keeps you listening. And so you say, well, I don't understand it. I mean, the guy, you start listening to him, I hate his politics, some of you, and then in time you start to say, you know, I agree with him. You say, well, what am I listening for? Well, maybe you want someone else's reality, because you don't know what reality is. Your mind is turned into mush from the schooling and the newspapers. One in five global migrants live in the U.S. Really? What are they coming here for if we're so evil? If white people are so mean, what are they coming here for? What are they flooding in from around the world? If Christianity is so evil, what are the Muslims flowing in here for? I don't see too many Christians wanting to move into Muslim countries. Why do we see so many Muslims dying to come into a Christian country? Anyone have an answer for that? All you wise leftist, socialist, progressives out there? And by the way, while you're thinking about it, isn't it odd how diversity applies only to primarily white nations? Diversity seems to be a euphemism for less white. I don't see the push for diversity in China, for example. Have you? Have you seen a scream for diversity in any Asian nation? I don't see that. Oh, but over here, yes, that's the new euphemism. And you see the meltdown of the United States of America. It's a death warrant for the United States. And now you want me to make it very political? I will make it very political for you. The man who said he would build a wall to stop the flood of third worlders coming in here, primarily from Mexico, was Donald Trump. Whether he still says it, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe if he ever comes back on the show, I'll ask him that. I don't know who his new strategic advisors are or what they're advising him to say now that he's obviously the putative nominee. But I do know this. I know that he's going to need you once the election comes around. He's going to need every vote he can get against Hillary. And he's not going to get there by continuing to weave to the middle. Oh, no, 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 no. You can't get there by going down the middle. But the schmuck advisors advise him, as sure as I'm sitting here, as sure as I'm sitting here, whoever is advising Donald Trump is taking him to the center. Start the ball rolling on the right. Bring them into the theater. Now, once you have them listening, move to the center. Triangulate the vast majority of undecided. That's the theory of the morons who destroyed Romney. That's the mentality of the idiots who run the Republican Party. Because make no mistake about it, their handprints are all over what's happening. Going on the Megyn Kelly show and talking about nothing? A fluff show? Are you kidding me? From the wall to her? In one sweep it happened like this, from the wall. All of a sudden, no Muslims coming in and the wall. All of a sudden, he's making nice to Megyn Kelly. Well, I'll still support him over Hillary Clinton. But do you think that that means that I believe he's going to build a wall? Do you think it means I actually believe he's going to stop the Muslim invasion of the United States of America? I don't know. We'll have to wait and see what his strategic advisors advise him to say next. And that's why I say, instead of talking about politics per se, I'd rather talk about reality per se. Because reality is reality. And there's very real reality. Ask a surgeon what reality is. Ask a combat Air Force pilot what reality is. Ask a Green Beret what reality is. Ask an Army Ranger what reality is. Ask anyone in combat what reality is. See if they can afford the luxury of taking psychedelics on the front lines of combat against the most vicious enemy this nation has seen since Hitler Youth became the SS and the soldiers of the Wehrmacht. Ask yourself if reality permits you to experiment on the front lines. WMAC in Georgia. Michael, go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation.
I'm a 68-year-old retired doctor. In 1968, I was a Green Beret medic in the Army at Fort Bragg, and four of us took acids. We had a wonderful time. Then 2 weeks later, we took acid again, and we got to go on a magical mystery tour to hell. It was so bad that I had to give everybody a double dose of Thorazine, that's the drug you give the maniac, so that when we would stand up, we would pass out. It was so bad that I'm still friends with these guys. We could not even talk about it for 10 years. It took us 10 years to even to address the subject of what we did that night. And needless to say, we never touched it again.
Well, I'm glad you called, because I'm trying to warn people who think that they're benign and that they're actually beneficial. They blow the circuits of the mind by opening the doors of hell. They don't open up the doors of perception. They open up the doors of hell. And if people want to go to hell, they can do it without me. And a society that permits this to happen is a society that won't be here too much longer.
I agree. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. There you go. That's one man's truth. Now let's go to KSFO in San Francisco, my hometown. Michael, line four, tell us your experience.
Hi, I'm a psychotherapist working in the Bay Area, and my experience is, and I've been doing this work for over 30 years, and my experience working with folks, especially other clinicians who've been advocating for psychedelics and so forth, is I think it's a bunch of BS. I think what it does is it puts an individual into a place of novelty with absolutely nowhere to land.
The reason I brought up the subject is because a study of 12 patients saying, oh yeah, using hallucinogenic mushrooms is good for treating depression, that's rubbish.
It's nonsense. Absolute nonsense, yeah.
I know there are listeners to this show, especially in the San Francisco area, some of whom are doctors who ran the Haight-Ashbury Free Clinic. They know what drug use has done to people and how it blows the circuits of the mind. Probably for life. That's what I'm trying to get across here. It's not simply to sound cool by bashing drugs. I'm trying to warn people away from this. Somebody's peddling a false bill of goods here.
Yeah, yeah. When I was in grad school, we were studying the work of a guy named Gregory Bateson, anthropologist.
Yes, Bateson. Bateson, Gregory Bateson. He was married to Margaret Mead.
Yes, exactly. Great guy, great man, great mentor. Talked about code congruency, which means that the mind has a certain, you know, certain personality to it, a certain way that it manifests. And when things are not congruent to the code, then all kinds of hell can break out. And what can happen is when a person comes back down from their experience, because the drug itself is not code congruent to their natural nervous system, neurology, they become further alienated from themselves.
Rather than connecting someone with the quote's inner self, it actually alienates them from their inner self.
Absolutely. And as a result, it's further alienation from community and more social isolation.
Amazing.
Because
I remember the 60s very well, and all of the drug users were always saying, hey man, smoke this, take that, it'll help you get rid of your ego. What they were doing, in essence, was attacking the individual, particularly the strong males, with that nonsense, by saying there was something wrong with their ego, and that it was evil for a human being to have an ego. I'd like to know what human being who has succeeded at anything in the world does not have a strong ego.
Have to have one. You have to have one. That's how you move through the world. That's how you make decisions.
Right. So this whole 60s thing about dissolving the ego was really about dissolving the human being and weakening the society, and enter the devil. There we are. Here we are so many years later, and take a look at what's happened to this country because of all of this rubbish about eliminating your ego. If I want to take this to a different level, what I would say is the meltdown of our borders, language, and culture is the equivalent of an acid trip for the nation.
Bill, look, you're and the only place where that kind of philosophy really, 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 really works well, and I'm not ditching it because, you know, I believe in good spiritual paths, is, you know, somewhere in India in an ashram where you dissolve the ego and you go, you know, and you devote your life to wearing a loincloth and doing yoga and that sort of thing. But in our culture, we need ego. I mean, we need it. Now we may need to update it, you know. We may need to update our value systems. We may need to take a really strong look at it and take full responsibility for it. But we would be lost if we didn't have egos. That's how we navigate through the world, you know?
I agree 100%. What I came to understand in the early 70s, when I had to understand what was going on in myself and the world, I came to understand that this Eastern philosophy, if you even want to call it that, that pushed the massive drug use and the assault upon the ego, was deriving from societies where there was no upward mobility whatsoever, where they had been trapped for hundreds, if not thousands of years in an unmobile society. There was nowhere for them to go. And so the best place for them to go would be to evaporate their ego so they didn't even have a personality left, because that's where they belong with their no ego, their no self. It was a place where it was groupthink, banging drums, in other words, just what you said, the ashram and living in that limited world. But, of course, in the world in which we live, it's an ego that is required to survive altogether, let alone to thrive.
Got to have it, yeah.
Well, we did it. And I thank you, Doctor, for one main thing that I just came out of the conversation, because I've always been a guy who could think out loud, think on my feet, so to speak, and think on my feet. He just helped me elucidate a very important insight. And if you're listening to the show, write it down. Steal this thought. Do a screenplay, write a book, create a puppet, make a bobblehead, which is what Obama is doing to this nation is the equivalent of an acid trip to a human being. He's dissolving the ego of the nation by stripping away our entire personality, our borders, language, and culture. I'm Michael Savage, and I approve of my insight.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. Psychedelic horror stories, because it's taking us in so many different directions that I didn't think we would go to, frankly. I asked, was your mind blown by LSD or mushrooms? Have you ever recovered because of a false story by so-called scientists or researchers saying that 12 patients took 2 doses of psilocybin. That's the active ingredient in hallucinogenic mushrooms. And that the drug staved off their clinical depression for at least 3 weeks. Now, that's absurd for a number of reasons. One, because 12 patients does not make a study. It's an observation. It's not a study. It has no meaning whatsoever, epidemiologically or medically. That's number one. Number two, what was the control drug? Number three, what was the long-term effect? Number four, what happened after the 3 weeks? You know, it's stupid. So they're trying to sell drugs now at every level of our society. It started with the marijuana peddlers, the marijuana industry. Wherever you turn, you got people smoking and eating this garbage, poisoning their minds for forever, not knowing the danger they're putting themselves in. But, you know, hey, it's a free country. I've long said decriminalize drugs. I didn't say legalize them. It's a little different in some ways. There are far too many people in prison for use of drugs. But I don't want to get into the criminalization issue. I want to talk about the psychological damage that these drugs are doing to the individual and to the society as a whole. It's what permits demagogues such as Barack Obama to get away with what he gets away with. He's literally pulling an acid. He's like a drug peddler. He's selling acid to the population, telling us that without our ego, our national ego, that is without our national identity, which is our ego, our national identity, we'll be a better person if only we would strip away our borders, language, and culture. And many of the idiots out there, yeah, that's cool. Yeah, we're just citizens of the world. We don't need a nation. Meanwhile, the jackals of the world are coming in here, eating us alive, taking away our breakfast, so to speak. And the people don't even know their breakfasts are being stolen. Some, in fact, give away their breakfast willingly. They like giving it away. They enjoy being, shall I say, well, I can't use the word because it's a family show, but it's what happened to many German girls New Year's Eve in Germany as Angela Merkel invaded her own nation with vicious individuals from the Middle East and from Africa. Rob, on WABC, you've got a few minutes. Fire away. What's on your mind?
Michael, I'm so glad you're taking my call. Rob from New Jersey. I've got a knot in my stomach while I'm making this call because of today's topic, and I'm going to keep politics out of it. My son was once a perfectly normal, he's 24 years old now, and he said to me that he always felt insecure and this and that. He started taking MDMA, which is ecstasy. And you hear a lot about ecstasy in the last 15 years. My son is now in a state psychiatric hospital in Connecticut. And because of abuse from ecstasy, he has got a thing called depersonalization or derealization. Something, this drug triggered a depersonalization or derealization in his mind, and this poor child has never been the same. It's been 6 years. The psychiatric community knows nothing about, very little about depersonalization, but MDMA, for all these kids out there that think that taking ecstasy is going to be the way to break down their barriers, and you were talking about ego before, guess what? You're absolutely right. It backfired. It played havoc with my son's brain.
Yeah, and this is why I've long said decriminalize the use of drugs and execute drug dealers. You know, it works in Malaysia. You know, you go to Malaysia, there are huge billboards near the airport coming out of Kuala Lumpur, which say if you sell drugs in Malaysia, you will face the death penalty. It tends to diminish the drug trade. And that's why we need a law and order candidate in the United States of America. And I only pray to God that Donald Trump is that law and order candidate so we can clean up the trash and get rid of the trash before we are awash in nothing but trash. I'm sorry for your loss. There's nothing else I can say. I hope maybe you've saved one life. For he who saves a single life, it is as though he has saved the entire world. This is Michael Savage. I'll be back. Be here.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
From the UK with The Seat, the Beatles brought us Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds. They triggered the sexual revolution in many ways, the drug revolution in so many ways. And here we are, decades later, suffering as a result of the stripped down of the national ego. As I said in the last hour, borders, language, and culture representing, in my mind, the personality of a nation, which is dissolving right in front of our eyes on the acid trip called diversity and compassion. This is the program I was born to do shows like this. I know when I hit my stride, I can feel it, and I know you feel it. Because I've been doing this long enough to tell you I know when I hit my stride and when it's right. Today is one of those days where every dart that I've thrown has hit the center of the bullseye, so to speak. I can feel it in the callers. I can feel it in the airwaves themselves. And I have to ask myself, before we continue with this, I would say, dialogue on the subject of psychedelic horror stories or the other subjects that I have raised of what is reality, does God exist, and such as I've described to you from my point of view, the morgue, today I ran down and killed a rabbit, that reality thing that I began with. I'd like to pull back for a minute and ask myself, why is the show catching a wave today? Why are people so phenomenally attached to not only my own insights or my own words, but those of my callers? If you listen to the last hour, and I don't want to paraphrase what people said, you heard one story after another about the devastation that was wrought upon them or their friends or their family by psychedelics or by drugs like MMMD, which is ecstasy. And yet we hear nothing about this in the media. The entire media is given over to peddling how beautiful drugs are, how beautiful diversity is. It's national psychological and physical suicide being sold by the boys in the band. Yes, my friends, the empty suits and the empty skirts that we've come to love so much, peddling the big lie over and over again. You ask yourself how they get away with it. Why would anyone believe a word they say when we know the opposite is the truth? And I ask myself today, A, how I arrived at this topic, B, why I'm doing a topic, C, why the people are responding. I'd have to say because in this hyper-political atmosphere in which we live, especially in talk radio, with the clutter every day, Clinton and Trump and Trump and this and Sanders, every day they can't take it anymore. They've heard it all. They want to have the election and get it over with. They're tired of the reality show. The people are sick and tired of the media circus. They're sick of it. They're sick of it. They made up their minds. They want to vote and they want to go on with their lives. And they want someone to clean up the country. They want somebody to stop the flood of illegal immigrants. They want somebody to stop the meltdown of our national identity. They want somebody to stop the insane spending that is bankrupting our great-grandchildren. And they want the people who are doing it to us to be thrown into jail for the crimes they're committing against this nation. That's the zeitgeist of this election, I can tell you right now. I don't need to ask anyone. I don't need the New York Times to confirm I'm right. I'm right. They need to confirm through me what's really going on because they don't know. They live in their own world. They're very bright people. Very insightful people in their own worlds, but they live in the bubble of their worlds. They're not me. They don't have my life experiences. They haven't lived through all of these iterations of America. I have. I have, and I am here, and I'm here for a reason. And whatever the reason is, I'm telling you like it is from my point of view. So you could say, okay, define it as borders, language, and culture. Good for you. Now what do we do about it? Well, you know what we have to do about it. Here's another story from Jihad Watch. Muslim McDonald's worker planned jihad mass murder attack at Heathrow Airport. You say, oh, well, that's only one of them. The court documents that Pham, he's a Muslim convert, a Vietnamese Muslim convert, was told to maximize the carnage by coating the bomb with metal bolts and cause as many casualties as possible to show how much he loved Allah and Muhammad. Now, what kind of religion on earth puts this kind of homicide into the heads of adherents? What religion on earth does that? Buddhism doesn't do it. Judaism doesn't do it. Christianity doesn't do it. Hinduism doesn't do it. I don't see it in any other religion. Where in the world do you find this in any other religion? And so if you see the reality of what is happening to too many of those who follow this particular religion, you as an American say, I'm sorry. I don't want any more of them in this country. And I want to live. And I want my children to live. And when you do say those things, the evil ones, the evildoers in the establishment say, no, no, no. That's not reality. The reality is that Islam is a religion of peace. The reality is that you are a racist. The reality is anything but what you see reality is. But you still know what reality is. What in the world do you think is going to happen unless we stop this wave coming into this country when they are taught such hatred for the nation that they are brought into? And I'll leave it at that because I'm trying to teach you what reality is. I'm just simply trying to teach you the reality of the times that we're living in. Despite what the idiots in the Democrat, Socialist, Islamist establishment will tell you, and their useful idiots in the media, I know reality. Now, either they know reality, and they're lying to you, or they don't know reality. And I'm tending to think that they don't even know reality. I'm tending to think they live in their own worlds, and they actually believe the things that they tell you. That they buy it, lock, stock, and barrel, and they sell it, and they actually believe what they're saying. The lifetime Democrats like Jerry Brown, for example, they would actually believe that man is causing global warming. They don't know what the evidence is, because the evidence is quite controversial, incidentally. There are many things that prove that man has not affected global warming, and I've made many references to the science, not to the scientists, because scientists are humans. And as humans, their opinions can be bought and sold. But the evidence itself cannot be bought and sold. And I've referred to the Vostok ice core samples in my book, Government Zero. You can refer to it if you want. But the fact of the matter is, the evidence that man is destroying the earth in that manner is quite controversial. It's not proven science. And so you have the true believers like the Jerry Browns and the others, who keep repeating the mantra that man is causing this and man is causing that and man is evil. And even though the drought is long over in California, where we had almost Noah-like floods, Jerry Brown found a new way to impose water restrictions during the drought, for example, being the good demagogue he is. He imposed water restrictions, which made sense during the drought of last summer. But then, of course, what happened was we had the Mediterranean climate kick in. And we had the deluge that I knew would follow, which I told you last summer. Stop with the world is coming to an end. Stop with the sky is falling. We're going to have the wettest winter in many a decade. And sure enough, we had the wettest winter. Am I a fortune teller? No, I just know the history of Mediterranean climates. I also lived in California long enough to know that these things of drought and rain run in cycles. But the point is that even though the drought is long over and the reservoirs are overrunning, Jerry Brown found a way, as the good demagogue he is, to keep the restrictions he put in place during the drought in place, after the drought, only because he could. It was a furtherance of his big government mentality, to go along with his big ego mentality, to go along with the government control of our lives from cradle to grave. And that's the opening to hour number three of the Savage Nation. If you care to call on any of these topics, the phone number is 855 400-728-2855-407. My website is michaelsavage.com. My latest book is Teddy and Me, which is an interesting, I shall say, diversion from my normal political books. It's a delightful book that would be a perfect gift for your father for Father's Day if you want to give him something soft and beautiful from a man who is the same as I just said, a man named Michael Savage and his little dog, Teddy. WABC Tom, what's on your mind, Tom?
Yes, hello, Dr. Savage. My name is Tom, and I wanted to tell you I'm a 65-year-old male with two failed marriages, currently married now, who imbibed psychedelic drugs from my early teens, starting, I was born in 51, so probably starting in 65 to 68. As a result of that, I discovered that I had what I thought was some sort of super ego that had developed and made me superior to other people. And my IQ was charted at 142 when I was 11 years old, which put me on the path to underachievement all my adult life.
Well, hold it. That's a very important point you just made. Your IQ was seen as being very high, and it put you on a path to underachievement?
Correct. Absolutely, yes.
Why? Because you thought you were so smart you didn't have to work?
Correct. My teachers told me
it.
Yeah, no, that's 100% true. That's like children who know they're going to inherit money who become lazy.
Indeed. This was a problem with my entire formative years. And I discovered after imbibing all those psychedelics, I had created what I would consider a chasm or a rift between my ego and my personality and my, if you will, soul or human body, which prevented me from experiencing normal physical relationships and intellectual stimulation, emotional empathy, etc. I suffer from that today, which has created a path by which...
Wait. You said that the psychedelics opened up that view for you. So you're saying it was always there, only you've never been able to cure it, but you're not saying the psychedelics caused it, are you?
I'm saying that there's the potentiality for all human beings to suffer this experience, and it could be through religion, it could be through drugs, it could be through any high-risk behavior or repetitive action that creates the situation where you separate physically or mechanically separate the ego from the rest of the human situation.
All right, let's for a minute take a slight digression. What is the ego? We've heard the words ego, superego. We've all read early Freud. What is the ego in your mind? What does that mean?
I have done extensive investigation into Freud and Jung, as well as Eastern religions, and I have found that the ego is the controlling entity, if you will, a construction that's made by a human being to help him navigate through what we consider to be reality.
Yeah, well, hold on. This is so important. Don't go away. Listen to this. Let's take an infant. The mother has a baby. The baby is helpless in the world. It couldn't live a day without the mother. Isn't that correct? So the mother is the superego for the baby. The mother and father become, in essence, the protectors of that crawling mass of protoplasm. And as the baby grows up, and I see people around with the little babies, and I look at the faces of the mothers as they push the baby by, and often try to think about what is the mother thinking as she pushes her baby down the street in that stroller. She looks at the little girl or the little boy. She probably sees a future ahead where that child will go to school, and she hopes he will or she will succeed in school and then go on to being whatever she imagines that child will be, right? But that all requires the development of an ego, doesn't it?
It does.
Yeah. So when you strip away the ego as the Eastern philosophy that has been bastardized into the psychedelic philosophy, translated into American minds, because the Eastern philosophy is really not about crushing the ego at all. If you actually study Eastern philosophy, it's just as ego-driven as any Western philosophy. That's if you actually read Eastern poetry, Eastern literature. You'll find that the bastardization of Eastern philosophy is translated into America as to say, okay, you don't need an ego. If you strip away the ego, you'll find the actual beautiful self within. So now, please re-enter the conversation telling us what happened when you crushed or disappeared that ego.
To qualify that, I believe what I did was I separated the ego. I did not destroy it. I created a chasm between the ego and the rest of my persona.
All right, so in other words, you disintegrated. You disintegrated. Listen to the word. You disintegrated as a human being. Would that be an appropriate statement?
That is appropriate, and I believe...
All right, so in other words, acid really is an acid. It literally destroys the integration of the selves or the pieces of the self that make up the whole. This is a very important subject. It's probably groundbreaking for the mass audience. This is probably well-known in psychiatric circles. I would think that it's well-known by any psychiatrist who's listening to the show, but it is not well-established amongst the general population. It's a very important conversation at that. And before I take a quick break, and stay on the line because I want to go there. I'm getting so excited by this show in so many different ways I can hardly describe it. I once visited a very important religious figure with some of the same questions you raise. And he listened to the whole story. And the more he listened to me, the more he knew he had to say the following. And what he said to me was, Michael, if you take a stick and you put it into dog crap in the street, no matter which way you turn that dog waste, it's still dog waste. And in that sense, he was the most brilliant man I've ever met. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCOIN. Back to Guru Mike on the Savage Nation. Now, I had a little fun insight during the break. I was thinking about it, like that thing about the dog stuff with the stick that I told you from the Holy Man, which is a true story, and it really straightened me out. But can you imagine if I really wanted to cash in and just be a guru, what I could do with a story like that? You know how many people would come to, let's say, Guru Land to see Michael Savage, the big build-up? They're in the auditorium, they're waiting for me to come out. There's whatever, the Rolls Royces, if you want to do that. I'm not into that, but seven Rolls Royces are outside the revival tent, surrounded by the beautiful winnowy women that these gurus surround themselves with in the robes. And all of a sudden I come in the flowing robe, and I come in with my dog Teddy, and I have a large stick in my hand, and then Teddy does something on the floor of the stage, and without a word I take the stick and I put it into the dog droppings, and I say to the audience, many of you are troubled in your own minds. You don't know who you are, you don't know what you are, you don't know what reality is. But listen, my friends, look what happens when I put the stick in the dog droppings. No matter which way I turn the stick, it's still dog droppings. Thank you for being here. Oh, they go crazy. That's the kind of insight that you'd expect in some kind of modernistic guru thing. Someone will steal this one and make a YouTube out of it. Good for you. Have fun with it. Steal this idea. But what I'm saying to you is, don't you know what reality is yet at your stage of life? No, most of us don't. I do. I'm very lucky. I have a very strong personality. I didn't always, but I learned to have it. Just work at it. It's like a muscle. Just exercise your personality. It'll get stronger.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage.
You have to ask yourself, how did your grandparents or your great-grandparents get through life without taking LSD or smoking dope? Welcome to the Savage Nation. How could your great-grandparents put up what they put up with and not have to have a joint or eat some marijuana cookie to get through a day? How come they were able to do it? How come they didn't need drugs to get through life? Oh, your life is so much richer because you use marijuana or you use drugs or you MDMA, sure. You have a much richer life, right? Sure, absolutely. So keep committing suicide and call it enlightenment. It's not my business what you do with yourself. Throw your life away. Throw your country away. Throw your life away. I can't do anything about it. Try to explain to you what's going on. It's a drug lobby at work. What you're listening to is the drug lobby one way or the other. It doesn't matter whether it's legal drugs that are poisoning society, such as OxyContin. And I've said for a long time the manufacturers of OxyContin knew what they were doing. I've read detailed studies on the early studies of Oxy, and they knew that it was not a 12-hour sustained painkiller. And they covered up the evidence. They've even paid fines and settled lawsuits. They should be in prison. Their assets seized. So don't think I'm in favor of legal drugs. If you're taking that from you, you're wrong. Drug peddlers are drug peddlers. I don't care whether they live in a Fortune 500 boardroom or in the gutter. So here we are, your drug lobby at work. Drug lobby in the streets and drug lobby in the media and drug lobby in the boardrooms is still a drug lobby. And here we are today, and we listen to guys. There's an ice cream guys, Ben and Jerry. Now, as you know, I don't eat ice cream because I think it's one of the worst foods man has ever invented for his health. I've written against it for years, even from the time I was writing just straight-out health books. I wouldn't touch the stuff. It's a poison on many levels. So now you have two fat white guys from Vermont named Ben and Jerry who are super psychotic leftists who use the profits that they've made peddling this evil drug called ice cream against America. So the latest thing is they put out a new thing about the Voting Rights Act. Listen to clip number 9. You got to hear this garbage.
I think having this flavor empowerment allows us to connect with Ben and Jerry's fans. We're going to work nationally on trying to help reauthorize the Voting Rights Act. There's just a lot of work to be done. So it's kind of easy to show up for one day.
He's an ice cream peddler who's destroyed the health, in my opinion, of millions of people, who's taking his ill-gained profits, in my opinion, to peddle socialism, again, in order to overturn everything decent about America. So now listen to the lie next from his partner, the other fat, rich, white guy in clip 10.
The Voting Rights Act was passed originally because some states were doing everything they could to keep black people and Latinos from voting.
You hear?
Well, now that the Supreme Court has struck down provisions of that act, these states, mostly in the South, are starting to reinstitute these laws that prevent black people, poor people, young people from voting.
Now, so the ice cream peddler is lying through his teeth. The Voting Rights Act, my friends, does not prevent anybody from voting. It prevents illegal aliens from voting. It prevents people from voting multiple times. It prevents people from voting in New York and Florida. That's what the law was. So now listen to the next big lie from the fat, rich white man in number 11.
Right now we have a government that represents rich white people. That's not what it's supposed to be about. If you want a democracy that represents everybody, we've got to overturn these laws.
Well, I have nothing else to add. Here's a fat, rich, white people man who says that we have a government that represents rich white people, and that's not what it's supposed to do. So he's trying to, what is he trying to do here? Why do these crazy people use their wealth to destroy the country that permitted them to gain their wealth? Answer, because they're mentally incompetent. You find the same mentality all over Hollywood. You find the same mentality in all the corridors of just name it. I can't fill in the blanks. You know where they exist. But they repeat the same lie over and over again until they start to think it's the truth. Here is a country that's given them everything they have. And they themselves are rich white people. And yet they espouse hatred for rich white people. What are they trying to do? All they got to do is look at the reality of what socialism has wrought. And I linked it up on michaelsavage.com. I mentioned it 2 hours ago, but you really shouldn't miss this. I linked it up from England, I forget the paper, it's out of the Daily Mail, and you see what hospitals look like in Venezuela as a result of socialism. The president is a stone-hearted socialist along the lines of something that Ben and Jerry would like to have in America, along the lines of what every actor and actress whose minds have been blown by drugs and illicit sex for so many years think is good for them. The president of this rotten nation, Nicolas Maduro, claims Venezuela has the best health care in the world after Cuba. But death rates are soaring, hospitals are filthy, supplies run low, electricity is shut off. The nation is collapsing because of socialism. The hospitals, you have to take a look at these pictures. You'll not believe what you're going to see. This is what happens as a result of the consequences of idiots like Ben and Jerry's peddling anti-capitalism after making their fortune through capitalism. This is what happens when you get a stoner like that actor Sean Penn, who I don't think has said a cogent statement in the last 40 years of his life, if he ever said one at all. Not one statement that follows the other makes sense. And he espouses socialism, socialism, socialism. It's all a front. It's a lie. One big lie after another in order to peddle their products to the masses. But what they don't understand is that we too are the masses. The people that they are aiming their guns at are the masses that gave them their fame. And it's time we fought back by not buying their garbage, their poison, or attending their films. You know, it's a two-way street. And so I'll pause at that note because we're talking about what is reality. And I don't know whether this insanity of a love affair with the disaster called socialism by these rich capitalists is a result of a lifetime of abuse of drugs. Or something else. It could be related to drugs. It could be that these idiots have taken so many drugs that they don't know what reality is. And the best evidence that that may be the case is that they wind up in rehab over and over again. What is rehab? It's a place where people go after they have taken drugs and can't take taking drugs anymore. And then they go in there in order to get cleaned up and to come out and try to face, quote, reality again. But once they face the reality of their own lies, they start using drugs again because they realize they were lying to themselves and then lying to the world, and that they abused their power as an actor or as an ice cream peddler to lie to the world. So they wind up taking drugs again, and then they wind up in rehab again. So you're going to listen to these idiots? Well, do so at your own risk. That's all. So this brings us back to the beginning of the show today on the theme was, what is the truth? Does God exist? And how I faced these very existential questions when I was 18 and reading existential philosophy, notably Sartre. But today I'm asking myself the same questions all over again. Is there truth? Where is it to be found? And so we've been talking about it now for over 2.5 hours. It's, I think, a very exhilarating journey I've been on. I can feel it. I know when shows connect or click with the audience. I know when it's coming from me in an almost pure form. And that's something that I've done today. And I'm ranking each day, by the way, when my shows are over and the microphone is turned off, just a little side note. I think about, how was the show? How did I do? And so, was it a B? Was it a B plus? Was it an A? Was it a D? Was it an F? Today, it's one of the best ones in all the years. Why it's occurring, I don't even know. Where it's coming from, I don't even know. I think it's all God-given, to be honest with you, and it's what I'm tuned into. You want to get into that? Sometimes I get tuned out of the power. Let me put it to you that way. I'll call it the power. Because when you say God, people turn off. They don't believe you. What does God mean? God is a euphemism, probably, for power or energy. What do we go to church for? What do people go into a church or synagogue for? What are all those people on their knees trying to achieve? What are they hoping for? They want to feel the energy. They want to feel the power from wherever it is, to come down into them and give them the strength to go on another second. They just had a diagnosis that their child is sick with cancer, or they themselves are dying, or their mother is dying, or their father is dying. Or whatever it is, they've just lost their business. So they turn to religion, they don't know what else to do. So they go and they get on their knees, they throw themselves before God, and they say, help me, God help me, God help me, please help me, God, please. What do they want God to do? God's not going to put money on their doorstep. God's not going to bring back the dead. God's not going to heal that sick child just because they asked them to. So what are they looking for? They're looking for the strength to take another step in life. That is, they're trying to tap into what every religion and every culture I've ever studied says they can tap into. Whether it be sitting in a Fijian village and drinking Yangona late into the night, which I did all through the late 60s and early 70s, what were they doing in drinking Kava Kava, Piper Mephisticum? What were the Brazilians doing in smoking ayahuasca? What were the Native Americans doing when they were taking mescaline through peyote? What are the Christians doing? What are all the religious people doing? What are the Buddhists doing as they chant and play the drums and fast? Are they not trying to tap into a higher energy? I think that's what they're doing. Now, what's the higher energy for? To give them strength. And that's the sum total of it all, because it comes back to what I told you at the beginning of the show, which is my analysis of what is the truth is really simple. It's not very complicated. Truth is survival. End of story. That's it. That's the whole story. Now, that's true for a man. It's true for a nation. And when you have a diabolical individual like Barack Hussein Obama, who is literally dismembering the nation in every way he can, as fast as he can, and anyone who is rational sees this man doing it, and he is savoring the destruction of this great nation, and nobody stops the maniac. It's like an airplane that's heading to the earth with a crazy pilot at the controls looking back and mocking the passengers as he takes them to their doom. And nobody has the guts to stand up and take the controls away from him and say, this man is out of his gourd. He's crazy. No one says it. Instead, we go on like, oh, everything will be fine. Oh, we're going to have an election and then it'll be over. No, it won't be over. If he gets away with what he wants to do between now and December, which is flooding us with millions of Syrians and Africans and God knows what else from the earth, how in the world can this society survive? And why is he doing it? Well, there are many reasons he's doing it. We've talked about it over and over again. What is reality? What is this sick man's reality? Because he is a sick puppy. This man has such a hatred for this nation that only a certain number of people in this country can see right through him. Maybe 30 million of us see what he's doing. And they see him doing it and getting away with it. Why? Goes back to the Beatles. I get by with a little help from my friends. I get high with a little help from my friends. Oh, yeah, he does. He owns Jake Tapper. He owns Wolf Blitzer. He owns Prancer. He owns Dancer. He owns ABC and CBS. He owns NBC. He owns Fox. He owns NPR. And so he gets high with a little help from his friends. And he gets by with a little help from his friends. But 30 million of us look right through this maniac. This is the Savage Nation Be here for the finale.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-COIN. Well, what are you going to do when I go off the air tonight? How are you going to face reality when my voice, unfortunately, has to leave the airwaves until tomorrow? How are you going to survive without the wisdom of Michael Savage? Guru Mike must take a break at the end of this show to restore his soul for tomorrow's endeavor. But as you well know, my friends, we are living in hyper-political times, and I took us on a magical mystery tour of other realms of reality, which is the entire universe, other than politics. Didn't you have a life before politics? Won't you have a life after your political obsessions? I did. I will. I'm sure you did, and you will. They're not the sun, the moon, and the stars. They're only a very important part of our life politically, but you know and I know there's more in the world than politics. But speaking about politics per se, the fact is that America First has been my motto ever since Lindbergh, ever since Borders, Language, and Culture. And, you know, sorry to tell you, but I picked the winner called Donald Trump. Many people's careers have been destroyed because they picked Cruz. And they dug their own grave over and over and over again, even though they had seen what they were doing. They wouldn't listen to anybody. They got more vicious by the day. They spun their tires. They're stuck in the mud. Their car fell through the ice, and now they're trying to crawl out on the ice floe that they put themselves on. And I say to you, listen very carefully to what you've heard and what you hear, because the political world that we live in will soon come roaring back like the crazed animal that it is. And that will happen sooner rather than later. Because I'm convinced as I sit here that the jester in the White House has some major tricks in store for us. If you think he's going to be content with simply ruining the economy, flooding America with the refuse of the third world, many of whom will never ever assimilate, never ever work in this country, you're mistaken. These are only two legs of a multi-legged stool upon which the maniac sits. The other legs, my friends, will soon be seen. And I'll leave that enigma hanging in the air because I can't even define it myself, but I know he has tricks up his sleeve before he leaves. The phone number here is irrelevant because the show is just about over. I invite you to visit michaelsavage.com and take a look at the pictures in Venezuela of the hospitals under the psychotic jester who is running Venezuela. Here is a man whose country has collapsed. People are fighting over food. They're dying in hospitals without drugs, without medicine, without doctors, without tools. The hospitals are filthy, rat-infested. And this liar says that he has the best health care in the world. And my friends, this is exactly where Obama would bring us if he is not stopped, either by term limits or by an opposition party and an opposition press. This is exactly what Bernie Sanders would bring to America if, God forbid, that maniac should ever, by some chance, by some fluke, become president. Our only hope remains the first hope. Whether we will get him and whether he will do what he says he will do is another story for another day and another time right here on the Savage Nation. I invite you to go to a bookstore and take a look at the reality of Teddy and me. This is the Savage Nation saying goodnight.